I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Grape flavor.
Alistair, that was probably really bad from me, but because we're actually in the podcast studio with these really nice quality headphones on, I thought I sounded fantastic.
You sounded really good. And we managed to align the times without knowing, you know, about delays and stuff like that would have when we're back in our homes, like most podcasts now.
You know what? You know what we always say?
What do we always
say? In our rap group, we say, you spit the rhymes and I'll align the times. That's how we do it.
That's how we make it work so well, our music group. That's why our music career is only...
It's only success away.
What does that mean?
Well, all we have to do is succeed and then we'll be there.
Ah, yes. We just got to be noticed by the right person. A really...
The right people.
Insane person.
And by the right people, I mean everybody on earth. Because you're all right.
I know, but
by me.
Are you saying that if everybody knew of us, it would be hard not to be successful? Do you think everybody could know your music and still say everybody says no?
Wow. I mean, that would be quite remarkable.
Yeah.
To achieve the kind of exposure where you're convinced as a matter of fact, that nobody likes your stuff.
Like everybody has been exposed to it. Every corner. Yeah. It's like it was played. It was played.
There was
from
one
the Starlink,
last tribe person on the Sandwich Islands. Sandwich Islands? Are they the ones with the people with the throw the arrows at the people?
That's definitely not it. No. But you're talking about where the Earl of Sandwich is from?
No. Talking about those ones where you can't land there, they throw spears at helicopters.
Yeah, I think it's got
stuff.
A different name. Like it's got some name
does
that doesn't sound like
S?
A food.
Does it start with S? Sausage. Sausage Islands.
Sausage Islands. No, I don't think
Sam
it's a food.
Sam Booker.
Sam, no, it's not a drink either.
Well, then I'm out of ideas. Sentinel Island?
Yeah, Sentinel Island. North Sentinel Island.
Yes.
Specifically.
Actually, the South Sentinel Island, incredibly hospitable peoples.
Absolutely. Well, I don't think they're inhospitable. It's that they just don't want to be, you know, they haven't been contacted that much. And the people that do contact them, I mean, look, maybe they are inhospitable. But I think they're hospitable to each other.
And that's nice.
That's why they're a society.
They're very welcoming, just not of strangers.
Rather than an island with one guy.
Has anyone let them hit them with a spear? We might discover that the spears are actually attached to a thin but strong rope that they use to haul people closer.
That's right.
It's just a very aggressive and proactive welcoming strategy.
A lot of people have bobbed when they should have weaved and they took it in the heart. And although they're trying to reach your heart.
Yes.
But that's not through the spear. The spear, they're just trying to get you closer so that they can get to your heart with their love.
Kindness
and generosity.
Killing with kindness.
Killing with spears.
I wonder if you could request, you know how they let you choose the way that you get killed on the, you know, the way they let you. I'll let you say your thing.
I said my thing already.
Killing with spears.
Killing them with spears. Nobody would see that as a
Is
joke.
This anything? Killing with unkindness.
Killing with unkindness. I think that's something.
Or unkilling with unkindness.
So using evil to bring people back from the dead as a way of inconveniencing the living. I think there's an idea in this. Attacking people by bringing back like relatives that are actually a huge pain in the ass.
Burdens from beyond the grave.
Especially like, because imagine this. It's like, right, you have an aunt that, you know, that was fine while they were alive.
Yes.
Right? But now they've been brought back to life. Their life is gone, right? They didn't have kids or something like that.
Nothing else going on.
You're the closest person.
Yes.
that is in their family, and now they have to move in with you because they're alive and they just need somewhere, right? But would you feel obligated?
How alive are they? Are they alive in any sense like a zombie, or are they just fully back to life?
I think they're fully back to life.
But with no support structures.
No support structure. And now you've just got to like squeeze them into your place.
Yeah.
And I mean, there must be some stuff that goes wrong with them. Maybe bits of them fall off and scares your children and things like that.
Yes.
But functionally, they're still alive. And it's something about the magic or the science that brought them back fights that deterioration to keep them alive.
I like that it's magic or science.
Yeah.
We're agnostic. We're technology agnostic. Well, including we'll accept magic as a possibility.
So what is this? Wait, this is unkilling with unkindness.
Yeah.
That's the name of the show.
Sure. But I'm also interested in the idea, because we've come up with a few speculative zombies on this show before, like rich zombies and that kind of thing. But a zombie who comes back and they are not malicious in any way, the thing is they're only just alive. They're not very alive. They're just alive enough to be once again a burden. This feels like a much more realistic kind of zombie, right? We can bring them back from the dead, but just not very far back from the dead. We can bring people back to a state of almost total dependence, and then you have to look after them again. We can bring them into that bit where it would have otherwise been in palliative care, very close to the end of their lives.
Palliative. I've always heard palliative or palliative.
Maybe that's it. Maybe palliative. You're right. Palliative.
No, palliative care.
Paleontology.
Palliative. This is not going well.
This would also work for a Jurassic Park, where again they can bring the dinosaurs back, but they're in incredible pain.
They're very sick.
They're very close to death.
Yeah,
we actually don't need cages because they just lie there screaming in pain.
Oh, they just seem really uncomfortable.
Really, they don't like it at all.
So, is it just like the flesh starts growing back?
You know, I mean.
You just drop, you've got a bulbous kind of chemistry sort of glass thing. And then it's got a purple liquid in there that's bubbling. And then you just.
This sounds more like science to me than magic.
This one, yeah.
This is a science one.
You drip it over, it over. Yeah. A drip falls on it, goes.
Like ooh, that sounds a bit like magic. That seems a bit like something would happen with a potion.
Like that, yeah. Well, it also could be something, you know, if you're just dropping water from a beaker onto a hot plate.
I also think the fact that it's a purple liquid, again, quite magic-y.
That is magic-y, you're right.
But if it was red or yellow or blue, I would have said science, but because it's purple.
And then I guess it somehow accesses secret DNA in there.
And then like
starts recreating the whole thing from that spot outwards.
Yeah. Making a
full dinosaur, but that is in pain. Then it's writhing around, it's trying to hold its tummy.
And the thing that their people are running screaming from is the ethical consequences of their actions.
Yeah.
The one thing that they forgot to build a fence, to build a wall around, was their compassion. See?
That's the amazing thing about Jurassic Park, is that they created a park where the bringing of the dinosaurs worked perfectly.
Yes.
You know? Like you go, wow, they actually have perfect dinosaurs. They're living, they're happy, they're sort of, you know, killing machines. They remember, like, without having generations of other animals to learn from about how to hunt.
It's all instinctual, like isn't it?
Everything they just knew how to do.
Top of their game.
Yeah, they didn't have
to bring them back to their peak.
It was truly amazing. And all the, they didn't mess up. They had all of the plants that they needed to eat. They had the perfect forest.
They got balance of the ecosystem.
I mean, that just that alone feels like that.
How do they bring the plants back? Because
not the same amount of
the mosquitoes. The mosquitoes aren't drinking tree juice.
Is that what used to happen?
Well, because that's how they brought the dinosaurs back.
Of course.
Was by getting the, you know, They're not drinking sap. There might be a sap mosquito.
I know, but the amber that they're in is sap.
In a way, yes. But yeah, in a matter of sure, in a matter
I
of
suppose you're right. So what they did for those ones to bring the trees back is they went and they scratched that mosquito out.
Yeah,
and they
yeah.
took it
threw
out
the mosquito
there.
Away.
Yeah, threw that away, and then
I found, fortunately I found some amber around a mosquito,
and I was able to. Get a drill.
Get the mosquito out. So that I could,
just have this beautiful pure amber. And bring
you see the intense close-up as they drill down to the mosquito and then they keep drilling to get some of the amber from the other side. We realised afterwards we could have just turned the blob of amber around to get it from that side. But, you know, hindsight is 20/20.
And then we took some of this tree DNA and put it into a frog. And it laid eggs, and
we used a syringe and we placed the needle into a frog and then we pushed it through and out the other side of a frog and into the ground
and injected some tree DNA into the ground
to grow the trope. Again, later we realized the frog wasn't necessary. But the people that we had doing it were so well trained at injecting things into frogs that just from a mental comfort perspective.
That's right.
I wish I didn't have to finish this sentence. Yeah. Kill me. If I died now, that would have been perfect.
Oh, Andy, it would actually be. Do you think I could still release the podcast?
Because people would have been listening, thinking, God, I bet he's got a great ending for this sentence.
Yeah.
If it could end it just, but if I could have died before it became really
clear. Leave wanting more. And this sentence that he's sort of slowly waffling his way through.
Petering out. Leave them knowing that there's nothing left in the tank. Leave them with an obvious trend line. That's my philosophy.
An obvious trend line. And you checked your phone, what'd you see?
There was a buzz and I thought there's a potential, this is an opportunity.
This could be an opportunity.
I could get out of here right now.
Me and Andy, we're both hopeful people because we've noticed that a lot of people don't even like to answer their phone.
If it's a strange number.
Yeah.
But Alistair and I, we rely entirely on strange numbers. People we don't know calling us, because the people that we do know, they know that we're not capable of very much. So they never offer us opportunities. It's only strangers.
That's right. So strangers call us up occasionally and we go. And the mere fact that it has happened at more than twice in this year, you get a call and you go, hello, is this Alistair? You go, yeah. And they go, I have an opportunity. You go, what? Miracle.
Hang on. It's an opportunity to have my light globes replaced with LED light globes. You know what? I'll take it.
Yeah. I've started telling those people that I already have LEDs in my whole house.
Right, yeah.
What do you tell them?
I think I do have LEDs in my whole house, but I tell them, I say, I actually have too many LEDs.
Do you actually say that?
Sounds like you have hookups with people who might want LEDs.
Yeah.
Maybe you could take some of mine. Send the people around and I'll load them up.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
I don't tell them that. I'm not that confident.
You could start telling them, I'm an LED light globe salesman. Would you be interested in buying some?
Or at least you and I could catch up for a coffee and just talk about the industry. It's always great to network.
Great to meet somebody else.
Maybe I could get a job in your call center. It does sound very noisy in there.
You guys have such good quality mics that can pick up lots of noise.
Or it's very open plan.
How close are you to the next person?
Every room is open plan. Every room is open plan. That's what a room is.
Yes,
it's an open plan area.
That's true. Yes. And it's also doesn't know what it's going to do for the rest of the day. Every room. I think maybe that's
unless
why
it has
called
a calendar, a booking system like the room that we're in right now.
That's true. I forgot. Yeah, I guess not every room is open plan in that regard. God, I feel really embarrassed.
Yeah, well, it's amazing me too, how easy actually. You were able ashamed.
To shut me down with something that was so entertaining.
This is almost like the time when I was eating fava beans. I've never eaten fava beans in my life. What did you just have for lunch? All right, it turns out it was fava beans. Fava.
But even the idea of him eating fava beans with a nice Chianti. First of all, beans and wine doesn't sound like that's a great
What is Chianti?
can't. It's just like a type of grape. I think it's got Sangiovese in it.
Yeah, right. Beans and wine.
Beans and wine.
If he'd said beans and wine, it wouldn't have been as good a line, would it? No,
beans and wine.
Let's remake Silence of the Lambs,
yeah,
but using entirely synonyms.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
We'll call the film The Synonyms of the Lambs.
That's really good.
Or maybe The Synonym. Forget it.
So we revoice the whole thing.
I think we remake the entire thing. Oh, that's good. But we do get Anthony Hopkins.
Well, somebody did say that where I'm just scrolling. You know how I told you today that for me, I don't enjoy watching things anymore, consuming anything, except for maybe Comedy Bang Bang. Yeah. And occasionally I listen to this so that I can get our ideas again and then we can use it in our work. Yeah. The guy was like, man, we're a content creating company. All you do is you go to a video, you get the transcript for it, and then you run it through this thing that just like changes the wording. So it's like an anti-plagiarism thing.
Yeah.
You run it through that, and then there's your script for your own video.
Doesn't feel like it's an anti-plagiarism thing. Feels like it's a pro-plagiarism thing in a way, doesn't it?
Sure, it's anti-get caught by from doing plagiarism. Ah, sure. Yeah. And then so we could – wait, what am I saying? I guess we could release a second podcast where we do
just
that.
Just the synonyms of and two in the think tank.
Two in the think tank. So we get this, we get all the words. We get the transcript. Oh, that's already going to be a hell trying to figure that out, how to do that. And then we get the transcript. And then we just get it to voice our voices. Or we could just read it out.
Oh, great.
We could do that in a bonus episode. Yeah. Just do one episode.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
and then read out the transcript.
At the moment, anything to keep it fresh. Now, Alistair, you didn't finish your bit about your attention span and about how with scrolling you no longer
enjoy
watching
things. I no longer enjoy watching things. I just like the scrolling bit because it makes me go, oh, great, something new.
Yeah. This next thing could be good.
Yeah, this next thing could be great like that. And then you go, no, it's not. Oh, that feels good.
Thank God I've got rid of that one. Finally, I can move on to something else that could be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be a completely new emergent type of an emergent consciousness that we're about to come into.
Wow, that would be exciting.
If we are training the brain to only recognize change now.
It's only like, so I become flux. Mm. That'll be my new identity.
Pure flux.
Yeah, I'll be. That's what people will have to call me. Yeah. Flux Trump Laboratory, probably. Mm. I think that's who I'm going to be in season 4 or 5 of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Which one are we in now? Are we in season 3 now?
Mm. Yeah.
I'm heading towards that. Or at least I'm
season 3. Each season, 100 episodes.
I'm deteriorating my brain. Until I become flux, and then I will only like things changing, which will mean I'll have to change the subject, which I already do a lot.
Mm.
But
I wonder if by you become that thing that only exists on the very, I mean, we're already, you know, the nature of the present is that we're already on the crest of a wave that moves from the past to the future, and we're just surfing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I wonder if by becoming that creature, you'll just be slightly further down the crest of the wave than the rest of us in some way in your mind. I don't think we should rule out the possibility that there will be a fundamental change in the nature of our consciousness brought about by social media, way that we experience reality.
Yeah. What do you think that'll mean?
I don't know yet. I think it's a difficult thing to describe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And really when you catch a wave, you don't really ride on the crest, do you? You kind of ride on the face of it.
Yeah.
And because if you're on the crest, then you're probably going to end up falling behind. So you're not getting that getting that push from the wave, that big heavy present.
Well, maybe we could invent a new type of surfboard where you can actually ride on the crest of the wave. The surfboard has like a sort of a big
scoop
or tongue that dangles, a big sort of ball bag that dangles down the front of the wave and is tickled along by the front of the wave.
It's a tickle-based propulsion
with
system.
A ball bag.
With a ball bag, But it's like a reverse hang 10, but with like it's like a tea bag of the wave. But does that drop Does it have to drop after you've sort of gotten onto the wave? Like,
yes,
you hold it up. Oops, sorry. You hold it up on top of the board, and then as you can feel
you the clutch, thing, as you swim with the other hand, paddle with the other hand,
like that, and then you kind of clutching as, your big as you ball feel bag. You picking up speed with the wave. You drop the ball bag instead of you dropping into the wave. You just drop the tea bag, the exactly ball bag right. into the
yes.
front of the wave, like that, and then that propels you forward.
Mm.
And then I guess you just enjoy.
Yeah,
life.
Yeah, and then your balls grate up along the sand as you coast to the shore.
That's a good, like, I mean, that's a big wave that you've caught.
All the way to the
shore like that.
I imagine that's what they do every time. Is that not correct?
Well, no, because usually, like, once the wave breaks, you know, you kind of ride along it until the wave really kind of breaks.
Oh, yeah, and then you're in that slop.
Yeah, well, then you could be in the front of the slop and you can usually keep riding if you want. Slop. But then... there's no fun. There's no, like, you're just kind of going straight, which is not the ride that most surfers, I think, are looking for. It's just a straight.
That's what I want. I want the most direct.
Just the most, yeah, like a flight.
I'm just aiming to get there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Do you think the Earth, what is the board that we are riding on through time?
Mind board.
It's our mind.
I mean,
our body is traveling through time as well.
My theory of consciousness is that it's just an algorithm that we've used to recognize patterns in the world.
Yeah.
So we've evolved to have an algorithm in our brains that recognizes patterns in order to predict the future.
Yeah.
And at some point something has happened in the human mind where that algorithm has started to recognize the pattern of the thing that is recognizing the patterns. And so we are now noticing that there is a self. The self is just the pattern of what's this thing? I've noticed that every time that I recognize a pattern, there's a thing that's recognizing the pattern.
But also you got to remember the past. Like, because in order to be able to predict the future, you kind of got to remember the past.
Sure.
So a big part of that is like all the past that you remember. You go, well, these are all the things I've done, which must be who I am. Also
part of the self as well. No, well, that's a good theory as well.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I think there's multiple little bits.
No.
Then there's that bit that gets woozy when you feel like you lose your balance.
Yeah, don't think about it too much or you'll fall over.
Yeah.
you can't analyze the self too much or you'll lose your – I mean – I'll tell you who's not analysing the nature of the self. The gymnasts on that beam.
You don't think so? Yeah, I guess you don't have really time, right?
Yeah.
You just got to jump. You just got to know where. Yeah. I mean, it's good once you're doing a few
backflips
instructions, you shake it out of you.
Yeah.
Any self-consciousness.
Exactly.
But I mean, you're probably also thinking about a shitload of stuff while you're doing that because you're going, you've got, I mean, there's probably a lot of muscle memory, but you would be like, oh.
Very present.
You go, oh, that was a bad one. Like, you're probably thinking that. You go, oh, that one wasn't quite as good as it was. Yeah, that's it. All right, now bend. Ugh.
But I wonder if you're even thinking about it in that way, about, like, this was a bad one, or if you're thinking just this is what I have to do next in order to correct for the situation that I found myself in. You might not even be able to make a value judgment in that because you're so busy.
Yeah.
You know, like whenever we are doing stand-up comedy and something goes badly – as soon as you start thinking about that, you're fucked, right? Because your mind is no longer present, and whatever it is that you're saying next, you're not going to be delivering it in a way that is interesting or compelling at all.
Sure. Although, you know, I found myself be able to, like, tell a joke and think about what I'm going to have for dinner at the same time.
Yeah? How does the joke go?
Well, usually fine if it's in the muscle memory stage.
Oh, that's great. sounds fun. Sounds fun for you.
You go, oh, yeah, well, anyway, this is the thing. And then you go, oh, I think spaghetti. Spaghetti. We haven't moved forward. I don't think any of this – I think this consciousness stuff.
Oh, no. It's a fucking dead end.
Was a bit of a dead end.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a surfboard with a ball bag is an interesting –
I guess so, concept. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll write down the ball bag surfboard.
Thank you very much.
Surfboard with a ball bag.
Yeah.
How would you advertise? Who would you advertise that to? Well, let's say you're trying to advertise it on Instagram.
Well, we know that there is a market out there for guys who want to have a ball bag on the back of their ute.
Sure.
Utility. But that's entirely visual. As far as I'm aware, that ball bag serves no function. It doesn't actually contain any sperm or anything like that.
It's not dropping it's just sperm. There. Or maybe the car. Are they suggesting the car is the dick?
If the car's the dick, then the dick is enormous relative That's to the true. Balls. Yeah, I think the car has to be the beast.
Okay. Of course.
But, you know, if the car was the dick and then you had a really big ball bag. But, I mean, you know, if with the surfing thing, the board could be the dick and the balls and you would just be surfing backwards on the
That's true.
On the dick and balls.
But would you actually have to make a backwards surfboard or would you – that's not something that you
– I wonder.
Because then what about those two? Oh, I guess like the fins.
I don't think you'd need the fins anymore. Back.
Yeah, you don't think so? Not unless those would be the banjo strings.
They could be, yes. The three banjo strings of Marquitas Estrada.
Have you watched that movie?
No, I haven't. But I like that you knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it in the last 5 years, I think.
Oh, yeah.
The three burials.
The last 5 years of what?
Of life.
Oh, right.
Yeah, of this wave riding. I guess this idea with the surfboard and a ball bag, I guess what you were saying is that some cars have ball bags. Mm. Some people clearly want to do that.
Yes.
Therefore, there must be a market for having ball bags on things.
Exactly. Thank you.
And so then it's all about figuring out, and this is, you know, because this is probably the early days of putting ball bags on things.
Yes.
Right? Like this is the introductory world of it,
any form of transport, in theory.
Exactly.
If we were in the boardroom for people who successfully put the ball bags on the car.
Yeah. But you could imagine a time 25 years from now when that industry has developed where
it's mature.
They say, now this year we will have putting ball bags on things is a $3 billion industry.
Yes.
Right? And long gone are the days of just putting ball bags on the bull bar of a big four-wheel drive ute or something like that.
Do you think that by this point the president of the United States will have a ball bag on the back of their, you know, motorcade limousine?
How well connected they are. But I think that they would look back at those times as being very primitive in that at that point, people were only doing it for aesthetic reasons, right? But as the industry develops, like with the surfboard, right, they've discovered that there actually are purposes that you could have for putting ball bags on things.
How any industry – I think this is the opposite of how almost every industry progresses.
You know, I think that there's a possibility that sometimes you can get an industry –
It just looks good. We'll find the functions later.
Yeah. I think –
It turns out there's heaps of really good, valid reasons
to put ball bags on things. Like that, yeah.
This feels like a conversation you'd have to have at a date, on a date where your date has asked you why you've got a ball bag on the back of your
car.
Well, actually, there's lots of really good reasons to do it.
Could you imagine like one of those squirrel suits that they have that's
Is this the thing for jumping out of an airplane?
Out of an airplane, base jumping and things like that. And they realize they've discovered that actually if it's a bunch of ball bags on there, it actually is really good. You don't need to have as much cloth going all the way around.
Yeah.
You just have this thing and it flaps and it kind of slows you down enough that you can do the first jump without a parachute and land.
It's incredible.
You know,
it's
really because the ball bags maybe take a sort of like an aerofoil shape and allow you to land. I'm just suggesting that there's ways because, I mean, clearly there's a reason for humans to have a ball bag.
Clearly, we don't know what it is yet. Well, I hope to one day find out.
Well, you know, so there's one that we know is that it helps with cooling these things. Well, what about parts of the car that need cooling?
Oh, see, that's a very good idea. I mean, and with electric vehicles, we no longer have the radiator at the front, but maybe we still need the ball bag.
Put the computer chips that control the computer in there, right? Let's say you're overclocking your Tesla.
Yeah, okay.
So that you can go super fast and play lots of video games whilst driving.
Great. Do a speed run of both Mario Kart and
Chicago
at the same time.
Exactly. And then, because you've overclocked it, your computer's running too hot. So what you do is you then slip your chip, take a lot of the wiring, just push it down into an additional ball bag that you just
hangs below the car. As you go along nice and quick, all the air rushes past it.
Cools. There's a lot of – dissipates all that heat.
Car blood vessels.
Yeah.
in their cooling fluid vessels. That's
right. Cooling fluids, things like that. And then you realize, well, on a hot day, people are getting hot and only their testicles are cold.
I wouldn't.
Or a nice temperature.
I wouldn't be at all surprised if Elon isn't listening to this podcast and making notes.
Yeah. Well,
this'll all happen.
I think it would be a great thing to see him achieve. I mean, you know, he's willing to put computer chips into a person's head.
Not into a car's ball bag?
Yeah, into a ball bag for a car.
It feels hypocritical.
Well, I'm just saying.
At the very least.
You can see that he's already going in the right direction. If you dangle a head upside down, it kind of is the shoulders ball bag.
Okay. Yeah. Just give me one more second.
Because it's got that kind of neck and then the bulbous area.
And you can pull it down into your shoulders, much like pulling up.
Do you think the head is on top of the shoulders like this as a way of keeping it away so it's not the same temperature as the full torso?
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Because I mean,
because the brain also, like a lot of activity, a lot of energy, dissipate a huge amount of energy.
It might need, you know, not to be as hot, right? Mm. Because I mean, it makes more sense to protect the brain with lots of torso and just have the eyes coming out through where the nipples are.
Yeah, it really does.
You know, like that. And then, you know, obviously the tongue comes out through the belly button and the nose. Is just below the rib cage.
The sternum area there.
You see, like that. And then it's a big kind of, you know, the bigger the belly, the more protected your
tongue is.
Your tongue is.
Yes.
You know, things and you know, the rest of your body and things like that.
That makes sense.
You see, but instead they put it on top. And I think it's that's why the head is there, because it's sort of like a shoulder ball bag, an upside down shoulder ball bag.
Of the shoulders.
Of the shoulders, yeah.
Yes. As I think of the main current ball bag, I think of that as being the ball bag of the midriff area. Midriff? No.
Which one?
Waist. The current ball bag. Oh, the existing. The That's traditional right. ball bag 1.0. The mainstream ball bag. The meat and potatoes ball bag.
I'm not able to write the word development anymore. And so
that is a very interesting development buff in your life, I'm sure.
So that's the development of the ball bag industry.
Does that have the word elope in it?
I can't tell from looking at the version I wrote down.
It doesn't. No, because of where the end is.
Does it have envelope in it?
Yeah, probably.
Develop. Envelope.
Yep. Really good.
What would that be if that pun was a thing? You know, envelopment.
Well, it would
be to take things out.
I mean, I suppose it would be the envelope industry, which would have been dealt a real blow by email, trying to somehow counter the revolution. You know, they're very much the Nokia. Of something or other. They're an industry that failed to adapt. It would have been taken by surprise.
That's right, the Blockbuster. They're the Kodak.
Very cruel of a lot of email apps to use an icon of an envelope. That's very much like putting the head of your deceased enemy on a spike out the front of your castle.
Yes.
You know, they're the ones that killed the envelope. And they just turn it into an icon.
You could imagine a very connected envelope person trying to sort of lobby a politician at the time to force email companies to use one envelope every time an email was sent.
Yes.
You know, like they were like, we have to encode this into, because people are going to go out of business. The whole envelope industry is going to collapse.
And when they're lobbying that politician, they're sliding that money across the table.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sliding that money across in an email, are they?
No.
No, it's in a brown paper bag.
Do you think it's okay if I write that down?
Is sure.
Connected envelope.
I think we're well beyond not writing that down, Alistair. Well, connected envelope, man.
Oh, I can't write envelope either. I think I invent-lope.
You know what they say in the envelope industry? You lick my back, I'll lick yours.
Oh, imagine if they did say that. Hey, you lick my back and I'll lick. I mean, that's going in the sketch.
It's in the sketch.
Yeah.
Yeah. You lick my back and then fold my top bit down over my bottom bit so that they stick together.
So wait, that's the
envelope. You were thinking about stamps.
You're absolutely right. But then that would make more sense with...
Stamps works a lot better.
Yeah, yeah. maybe there's a stamp guy who's having a meeting beforehand. And then before...
It's much more likely to be stamp guys, really, than it is email envelope guys.
Yeah. But then maybe if we see that at the beginning, right? As the envelope guy is about to cut, he's about to walk into the meeting room, and then he realizes there's already another meeting happening, right? And so as the stamp guy, we always say in the stamp industry, we always say, "You lick my back, and I'll lick yours."
That's good.
And they go, "I didn't get what that means," and they shake hands like that. And so then he leaves, and so then he keeps that in his mind. So at the end of their meeting, it could be a little callback for us. He says. And we say a little something in the envelope industry. You lick around my muff.
My rim.
And I'll lick around yours. And the guy goes, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit clunky, but I like, I get what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah, great. I had something there for a moment, Alistair. And I was like, God, hold on to this idea, Andy. Hold on to this idea because this is it. This is what's going to make it for you and Al. This is going to get you out of here.
Oh, my God. Out of this
whole situation. Everything. Yeah. But fuck, it's gone. You're going in the meeting with the guy, with the envelope, the stamp industry, the stamps, sending things. Oh, no, that's right. I was just going to say, why do greeting cards cost so much?
Oh, that's good. We're out of here.
Yeah. Wasn't that good, was it? No. I just realized that's one of those things that always plagues me. Like, and I feel like they're putting up the prices of greeting cards all the fucking time. They're continuing to take the piss more and more.
Yeah.
People talk about a license to print money.
Yeah.
You don't need a license to print money. You just need a license to print greeting cards.
Yeah.
Because that's even better than printing money.
That's true.
Because I imagine it's much fucking easier.
Yeah.
And the profit margins must be absolutely insane.
What do you think the profit margins are on printing money?
On printing money. Probably pretty good on that as well, actually.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty good.
If I was the Mint, I'd only print $100 notes.
Well, it would be more profitable.
Much
for that.
More profitable. Yes.
Because I think when you're printing $5 notes, it's the Mint guy.
It costs the same amount.
He's talking to the government going, "Hey, look, to be honest, I'm running this thing. You're getting me to print fives.
You're fucking me on this.
And it's costing me $7 every five.
I mean, it wouldn't be, though.
No. Nah. Depends. The way wages are going up, you're fucking us. I'm thinking about printing more hundreds. How would you feel about that?
The Mint Man. Licenses to print money.
Yeah.
That would be the infinity dollar note is actually just a big stamp, or it's a special kind of magic note that you can rub onto pieces of paper and it turns them into other funny notes.
Is it sort of like a temporary tattoo type?
It's a temporary tattoo.
Type thing, but one of those it's just basically a money stamp.
Mm.
Is that what you're talking about, money stamp?
Really, that band Tattoo. Remember the band Tattoo? T-A-T-U?
All the things you say, running through my head.
Given how long they survived, they really should have called them Temporary Tattoo, shouldn't they?
But I mean,
they didn't have the staying power.
I mean, that one's.
But that song,
yeah,
is in there. like a permanent tattoo.
Yeah.
Well, they should have called the song Permanent Tattoo.
And then, the band Temporary Tattoo. Do you think they would have needed then to put the... I mean, I also remember the band.
That's true as well.
I wonder how they're
doing. But the band themselves weren't permanent. And, you know, and this, you can remember a temporary tattoo. I'm not saying a temporary tattoo, when it washes off your hand, doesn't disappear from your memory.
Well,
you don't forget its existence. I mean, in that way, I think a temporary tattoo is a fraud. And a true temporary tattoo would contain also some little bit of rehypnol or something in it. So that you've not only, it's not just gone from your skin, it's gone from
your memory,
yourself, your
permanent
sense of
memory. What's your sort of, I guess, your richest memory of a temporary tattoo you once had?
That's a great question. I have memories of temporary tattoos from my that my children have had, but that's not that impressive. I don't have a specific one.
Do you have a memory at all of? Can you name one temporary tattoo you once had?
That I have had? Yeah. No. But that's unfair because I don't remember anything.
I know, but I'm just saying. I don't remember a single temporary tattoo I've ever had.
All right, then. So what's your point?
Well, my point is that they could be, as we've attempted to discredit them, they have the potential to have been actually selling us the perfect product.
It is. They weren't kidding about that.
Now, we have at least five ideas here. Would you like to go to three words
yes,
from
I
a
would.
Listener?
Yes, please.
A listener.
A listener.
Now, today's listener is Kieran McFadgen.
Kieran.
Kieran McFadgen from the United Kingdom.
Yes.
Listener galore. There's a listener's galore in the United Kingdom.
Oh.
But also, I believe that Kieran McFadgen is a one-man listener galore. And would you like to try to guess? Kieran sent in three words. Would you like to try to guess what those three words are? And maybe just start with the first one. But you can start with the second if you want.
First word is impale.
Impale? No. No, unfortunately. The first word, there are similar letters, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
At least... Ooh, the A, and there's at least one E and an L. All right. The first word is Helena.
Helena. Okay. Well, I think it's going to be a Helena Bonham Carter.
Helena. It could be Helena of Troy.
No, that was Helen of
Troy. So second word is Bonham. Bonham. Wow. Like John Bonham.
Yeah, or like Helena Bonham Carter. So did I get that right? Did I get the second word right? I think you're glossing over.
You got the
over.
Second word right, yes. Yeah. Helena Bonham. Sorry, I apologize for that. You did get a word right.
I think we need to celebrate the wins.
Yeah, no, that's true.
But what if the third word, is the word Carter? Because I feel like you would have told me if there was the word Carter. So it's Charter. Helena Bonham Charter.
You think something that you would take?
Yeah, you can hire.
Look at Wales or something like that.
Yeah. But you're dressed all gothic. It's the first glass-bottomed and also gothic-looking boat.
All right.
Let's pale. Look. It's very
I'm
pale.
Sorry, it's not charter. Oh. The third word is Oswald, as in Lee Harvey.
What's the game he's playing there? Is he just chosen two people with three names?
I think so, yeah. That's what my guess is. Unless it's Patton Oswald.
That's Oswald.
Oh, that's true.
Mm.
It could be...
So that's not the Patton Oswald.
No, you're right. That isn't the pattern.
Helena Bonham Oswald. There's absolutely no question she would have not have had a career if her name was Helena Bonham Oswald.
You think she definitely would have?
She wouldn't have made a single she wouldn't have had any career, not just in film and television entertainment.
She would have been a careerless person.
She would have been unemployable.
Wow.
In any field.
Yeah.
Of endeavor.
Even like baking.
Even baking. The famously.
Well, I mean, you're up at night. You know, you're not even really participating in daytime, communities.
True. No one ever says my compliments to the baker, do they?
They don't. My compliments to the baker.
Mm, no.
There's also very few bakeries you can go to. Sorry. Okay. So now we have to find a sketch.
I'm trying to make a joke about. She made that role her own. We wouldn't have been saying that about her in any sense, baking or the movie Fight Club.
That's right.
Helena Bonham Oswald.
Yes, okay.
I mean, what if Lee Harvey Oswald had been a woman? Why are there not more female assassins?
That's true.
It's definitely...
Maybe they're just better at getting, not getting caught.
Mm,
because you don't assume that they're going to be assassins.
Well, I think if a woman was an assassin, she'd probably assassinate people in a way that was much more psychological.
You think so?
Destroy their minds.
Yes. Yeah, I think you could be right. Well, so
she'd use soft power.
So you think through the way that like a young girl would bully you at primary school or something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Using soft power.
Mm.
Like a comment that eats away at you, a flesh-eating comment.
Flesh-eating put-down. Flesh-eating clap back.
Doesn't just play on your mind.
Mm.
Plays on your calf muscles.
Ah. No, it doesn't just play on your calf muscles. It plays on your mind, I think, is what you were trying to say, right? For a flesh-eating put-down.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I was kind of going from the
I think you're from wrong, the point of view, I think the listeners will agree with
no,
me.
No, but I'm just saying, explaining my reasoning
is no, that I don't I
was
think going it matters.
From, I was going from the basis of a put down, which is something that would traditionally play on your mind.
Mm.
And so I was saying the way in which this one is different, that it is also sort of plays on your calf muscles or button. Mm.
But I think because of the way this sentence is constructed, flesh eating, the fact that flesh eating is at the start of the sentence.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing you've taught me about comedy is that the punchline has to be at the end.
Yeah. So the playing.
Maybe
it also plays on your calf muscle.
Oh, forget it.
I mean, I understand. I think I'm not going to say that it was the most perfected thing that we've ever done.
We'll work on it. We'll
and
I'm call, it.
You see how it's not working and I'm saying it's a we did this.
But
do you like
what
the
about
idea?
This? What about the idea of
would you be okay if I
you
just,
can't, you
I know
can't,
I want, I still want
okay,
this.
Yeah, but you can't hire a it's very difficult to hire a hitman. And whether or not hitmen in general but the idea of I'm not a hitman, I won't kill somebody, but I will be hired for a much more affordable price to put them down, to say something mean about them.
To trip them over publicly.
Trip them over or just yell something out over their fence and then run away.
Yeah? Knock on their door.
I'll damage their self-esteem.
Yeah. What about just walk by them and sort of look at their outfit up and down and just kind of go, bleh.
I think this is a really good idea.
Yeah?
Yep. I'll make people feel a little I'll make them doubt themselves.
Do it for $100.
Yeah.
That's good. That's like, you know.
I think that's great.
You do that.
To give somebody a really withering look. Look them up and down and then look really disgusted and disappointed.
Put man.
Because there's nothing.
Hit man.
That's not illegal as well.
Hit and run man. No,
take a hit to your self-esteem
hit
man.
Hit to your self-esteem man. So I guess a good hitman for short.
Mm. Was there another word? Well, assassin.
Assassin.
Is there anything with assassin?
A character assassin. Like no.
Asshole assassin.
Asshole assassin.
Mm. I'll do the assassin. I put the sassing into assassin.
Assassin.
Because I'm going to sass you.
What about a sassassin?
Yeah, good.
The sassassin.
The sassassin. The sass, and I use some sass. I put the sass, but there already is sass in assassin. But I put.
But
even,
there's already ass in there, and they put that in a second time.
Yeah, that's true. Why stop there?
Yeah.
Why not have three asses in assassin? Assassin. That's a really good assassin.
The more ass.
The more ass.
In both senses of the word.
Mm. So that's Helena Bonham Oswald. She's the female sassassin.
Sassassin. The sassassin. The sassassin. Do you think it's a sassassin?
Give you a real.
So such a trebly word. Sassassin.
What about an ass sassing?
Get an ass sassing.
Yeah, they'll sass your ass.
I'll sass your ass. Yeah.
They look at your bum and then they go, ugh.
Yeah.
But they'd have to look at your bum, go, ugh, and then walk around in front of you and then go, ugh. Like, it's hard to get.
But that's the verb assassin, rather than the noun.
Yeah.
Then there'd be an assassin.
Yeah, I'm an assassin.
I'm an assassin.
This is working really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think we should wrap this up? Do you want me to read us through the sketch ideas?
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I'll brace myself.
We got unkilling unkindness. Mm. Unkilling with unkindness. pardon me.
That's where back your aunt.
Maliciously bringing people back to inconvenience the living.
Mm.
Then we have palliative care Jurassic Park. That's where we bring the dinosaurs back, but they come back and they're all very sick and not doing well. They're in pain, but you need to make some of your money back.
Mm.
Then we got tree DNA Jurassic Park.
Wow, that got written down. Hell that's yeah. Incredible. I do like the bit where they inject all the way through the frog.
That's right. That's right. And then they inject tree DNA into some dirt. And then we've got surfboard with a ball bag. That's at the front, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That you drop in once you've started catching the wave.
Why they call it dropping into a wave.
That's right. And so that you,
oh, it makes sense.
So that you can ride on top of the crest rather than in front.
Yeah. Well, I forgot that was why that was.
And then we've got a separate sketch idea, which is kind of connected to the last one, which is the development of the ball bag industry and the different levels on which it can go into. And obviously it goes into a place for storing computer chips.
I do love what I love about it is the fact that whenever you do hear about how many $1 billion some fucked up industry is worth, it's always exciting.
Yeah.
And I think I would love to.
$22 billion this year.
Bigger than the GDP of most African countries.
Yeah. Then we've got Connected Envelope Man, getting a politician to force email people to people, you know, companies to still use envelopes. And then, of course, that's where he is about to walk in and he hears
you lick my back, I'll lick
your back. It's from a stamp man. Beforehand, you know, a golden handshake. Then we got a mint man talking about printing more hundreds because it's more profitable for his mint.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
I think it is funny. I think that is funny.
It's funny. Yeah.
Then we got the flesh eating put down. and then we got the assassin. Hitman for put downs, which is very similar to having a flesh eating put down. But this is more, one is created in a lab, the other one is more like it's a job.
It's a job. I don't think it's quite a different idea.
You don't think it's different enough?
No, I think it is a quite different idea.
Oh, yes.
I think it's different enough. I think it's, if anything, it's two different ideas. No. Two different ideas.
This episode has been too diverse.
Mm.
There's only now 40 episodes left until we have to do
tell me these 400th, kinds of things.
400th episode. It's probably going to be in like July next year. Oh no, that's the stress of entering a 100th episode year.
Yeah.
That you just carry around. You're going to have 4 kids at that point. 4 kids doing 400 episodes. Andy, do you line up the amount of kids that you have with the amount of hundreds of episodes?
Yes, I do, actually, yes. I took an oath.
Yeah. Well.
Thank you so much for listening to In the Think Tank. And that's cool the way you do that.
Oh, it's so cool the way you do that. You can check out that Wax Quizzical podcast I appeared on. It was very fun. You can join our Patreon and you can get watch
My Client is Innocent
by joining our Patreon, any level.
Yeah. And I think there might be some more exciting content much like that coming to our Patreon very soon.
Oh yeah. Cause I think they're shutting down SOS Presents where Magma was. So I mean, there's a chance we're probably just going to upload Magma to YouTube regular.
But
if we can't get anybody to stream Teleport, then we will probably just put it on the Patreon for a bit. Thank you very much, everybody. I hope you're all well. Take care of yourselves.
And each other.
You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram and all that kind of stuff. We even have a little account on TikTok for @2andTank, where we posted a couple of clips from this podcast. If you like listening to it, imagine the opportunity to listen to less of it on the TikTok. Anyway, take care.
And we love you.
Bye. See you later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.